And you can be seated. I tried to sing a song. I told them I didn't know if they'd let me bring my guitar in or not with Brother Tim being here. There's only kind of got to meet a certain class of folks sometimes. I tell you, singing that song of other things I've had my fill. I tell you, but y'all know me, I'm real simple. But me and my wife were walking through the mall and up at Springfield, and I had a Starbucks in my hand, and I said, and I was thinking about it, I said, man, and I told her, I said, this is awful sweet. Well, about that time, she got me some kind of a cupcake or something, and it was just loaded with chocolate. And so I took a bite of that, and I thought, well, that's real sweet. Well, then I took a drink of what I thought was sweet earlier, and I said, man, that is nasty. I said, that just tastes bitter to me. And you know what? I went and I threw that cup away, and I thought, you know, just like when we was living in the world, you know, before you come to know the Lord, the world seemed sweet, but once you ever got a taste of something that was truly sweet, well, you just went and you threw that other thing away.
That's right, brother. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, we had we actually had something happen at our church here a while back, and there was a brother that had come, and he was just a little afraid because of the, I guess you'd say, the group of people that he runs with, to use a term that Brother Branham had used on the... Brother Branham said, you know, that we were no longer in a church age, that we were called out into the bride age. Yeah. And this brother, he couldn't hardly say it, you know. And I drove home and I thought, why would you not want to use a term that the prophet used, you know? And I don't mean it as a fight, but anyway, the Lord gave me a song through it, and so I hope it's a blessing to you. We are in the harvest, the maturing of the grain, and right now we're seeing the great falling away. But don't be worried and don't be dismayed. Not part of them. You've been caught up into the bride age, and we are in the bride age. It's the dawning of a new day. No matter what people say, I'll take what the prophets say. 'Cause this is the promise that's given for the last day. We're coming into our place. It's time to possess the land. Now some preachers try to take away this portion that God has gave, but they've come way too late to take mine away from me. 'Cause I've left the church age, stepped up to a higher place. Now my body's being changed, I'm entering eternity. And we are in the bride age. It's the dawning of a new day. No matter what people say, I'll take what the prophet said. 'Cause this is a promise that's given for the last day. We're coming into our place. It's time to possess the land. We're coming into our place. It's time to possess the land.
Amen.
You know, we're seeing all around. Everybody's telling us now we can't take the land. But, you know, just remember, there was always more negative that outweighed the positive.
Yep.
Right?
Right. That's right.
How many people went over? There was 10 of them that said, we can't take it. And 2 of them said, we can. And the 2 that said, we can, so one that went.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you this evening, and I appreciate Brother Tony having enough confidence in us to invite us this way. And I tell you that I guess the message that got me invited here was got me kicked out of another place. So I, me and Brother Tony, kind of, we preached a meeting together, and one man walked away and called me and asked me to come preach, and another man called me a few days ago, and he said, "Brother," I just called your name from the pulpit and told our church you don't even believe the bright age message after what you preached in Oklahoma. And I said, "I'm sorry about that, you know, but hey, can't please everybody, can't we?" So, but I believe the message. I believe, you know, I love searching the deep things of God, and but sometimes we also have to realize that, you know, as much as I love steak, if you just eat steak all the time, you're going to start depleting yourself.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you got, especially right now, you know, I've never thought about health food until, and I don't know, y'all are going to laugh at me, and I'm only 30, but that 30 changed something in me. And I told my wife, I never had to watch my weight. And now I have to, you know, none of my suits was fitting me. And I said, "What in the world?" I turned 30 and my gut starts growing. And but, you know, tonight might just be, you know, asparagus or broccoli. So
that's all right.
You pray for me now. I had something else completely planned for the whole week and all day today and in the hotel and in the back room until about 15 minutes ago. The Lord just completely changed my direction. So we're going to go the direction that I believe He's leading us to go. And I believe that someone will be helped, you know. You know, the thing of it is, we don't know what the Lord's going to do tonight. I tell you, I told someone the other day, I said, I believe God likes just messing with our plans, you know. And I think sometimes He waits till the last minute just so He can mess with your plan just to show you how dependent we are
on
Him. And let me be honest with you. You know, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm just going to tell you. You know, Brother Daniel, I sat in the back room going, "Now, wait a minute. I've already had planned." And I sat there arguing with him for a minute. So I'm going to tell you tonight what I'm going to preach. I don't want to. I'm just being honest with you. But I feel it to be the Lord. So if I can find it here, let me, I tell you. I'll get there in a second. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. I believe this church is probably about like any other church, about like our church. Everyone's angels and no one has any problems. Right? 2 Kings 3 and 6. "And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent unto Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, Let me consult the prophet." He said, "Let me go talk to my pastor first." Did he say, "Let me go pray about this before I give you an answer"? No. He just said, "Will you go?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll go up." And then watch what he does. Without praying, without consulting the prophet, he just says, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." Now, this guy gave a lot of stuff over without praying, didn't he?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, this man fully commits, "We're one, we're going to unify," without even praying the first prayer.
Yeah.
You can be seated tonight. I want you to keep your place. I'm going to continue reading. And I'm going to tell you, like I told our church when I preached this at home, if you think I picked this out for you, I didn't. I preached this at home and I thought, I'll never preach this in another pulpit. But you know, if you're waiting for the great atomic bomb of deep revelation to fall tonight, just wait. Maybe it'll happen in the morning. It's going to be very simple, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to just talk to you about something the Lord dealt with me on.
Yeah.
But this man, without any prayer, without any consideration, just says, "This is what we're going to do." And he said, "Which way shall we go?" Verse 8. "Which way shall we go up?" Now watch this. This man has automatically, given himself over without prayer, and now he doesn't say, let's go to the prophet and see what he would say.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't say, let's go to prayer and see what God would tell us. But he immediately takes this other king as his headship, and he says, what way will we go up? And I'm thinking about this, but I see people doing this around the Church of the Living God. I see people just giving themselves over to other headships. I see people that they're ruled by some thought they get in their mind, you know? I mean, I see our church, and let me tell you this, I see our church, we have factions in our church. We have, I like the way Brother Jeremy Schreiner put it one time. He said, we got head sheep in the church. You know, and there's about 40 people on, you know, we got, I guess our church got about 100, and there's about 40 that like a certain style, and they say, man, if this one person does, and then there's five or six that look to another person, and five or six that look to another person, and I think, why is this? And so, this man, I want you to look at what happens here, though. He says, which way will we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. As I began to look, I saw that Edom, the Edomites, were the descendants of Esau. So now, you know, you just, you know, forgive me if you think I'm crazy, but I just, something really stood out about this. That when he asks this man, without any prayer, without seeking out the prophet, what way are we going to go? They pick the way of the descendants of Esau.
Right.
So I started going, okay, well, what was Esau's way? Uh-huh. Remember what Esau's way was? He come in and he said, I'm hungry. And his brother said, sell me your birthright.
Yeah.
He didn't say, now wait a minute, let me go talk to Dad. Right. You know, I used this at our church, and I said, you know, I got an older brother, and I said, if I went to him and said, hey, I'm hungry, and he said, then tell Dad to take your name off the wheel. Brother Daniel, I said, I'd go, let me go talk to Dad about this first. I would not just agree to losing everything of my inheritance without first going and consulting my father.
Yeah. Right.
But I see many people who make decisions. And let me tell you something. I believe the headship of the church is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And many times we go, and now he'll work through that office of a pastor. But we don't go through those offices many times. And I see people just making decisions and just going every which way. They just look at something in the Word and they go, well, my idea is as good as anybody else's idea. And that becomes their headship, is their head knowledge. Right. And so Esau's way was, okay, I'll just make this deal. And his inheritance meant nothing to him. Consulting with his father meant nothing to him. And this man says, we're going to go that way. Well, it didn't work out too well for him.
Right.
So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and the cattle that followed them. And I want to tell you something. If you think you're going to go your own way and everything's going to be fine, you'll find your place in a drought.
Yeah.
But watch what these people done. Watch this. And the king of Israel said, alas, that, who?
The Lord.
The Lord wasn't in none of this plan.
Come on, brother.
They didn't pray about this plan, Brother Tony. They never even consulted God. And somehow now, Brother Tim, it's God's fault.
Yeah, come on.
I thought, our pastor said the other day, he said, you know, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff.
That's right.
He said, people come to you and they say, brother, the Lord told me to buy a new car. And he said, they ain't got the money to pay the payment. Oh. 6 months later, the car gets taken away.
Yeah.
He said, that wasn't God's will, you know. But people get, you know, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff. But these men, when they got in trouble, watch what they started doing. What they should have done is said, we were wrong, we repent. Yeah. But what did they do, Brother Tony? They went back and said, it's God's fault.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what we do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you, and I don't mean to make fun of anyone, but it's just a funny illustration. There was a brother, and he's a precious friend of mine, but they was going to have a meeting, and on the Saturday they was going to have a picnic. Well, the weatherman said it's going to rain. So this brother gets up first night of the meeting, and he said, listen, he said, the weatherman said it's going to rain Saturday. He said, but we're fixing to work up the third pool and speak that rain away. Well, they got the music cranking, Brother Daniel, and the drums got to beating louder and louder, and the organ was screeching, and about that time he said, thus saith the Lord, it won't rain for 3 days. This is a message, brother, you know. And so for 2 days, it didn't rain at all. And man, they said the third day, the bottom fell out of the sky. And that brother got up that night and he said, "Lord, why'd you do this to me?" And I said, "The Lord didn't do none of that to him. You know, he decided he was going to work something up, but you can't work up the third pull." Amen. But when we get ourselves in a bind, it's so hard to say.
Come on.
These three words. Uh-huh. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Brother Tony, it breaks people's necks.
That's right.
You know, I got a good pastor. I was talking to a brother one time. My pastor was sitting there, and I told the brother, I said, "Well, you know," and I was explaining why I'd done something. So, and finally, my pastor said, "Cliff," he said, "are you trying to apologize?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Then do it." You know, but it hurt, Brother Prater. It hurt for me to say, "Man, I was out of line. I'm sorry. I was wrong." It stung Cliff because I'm right. Right? Every man's right in his own ways. And yeah. You know, but it hurts. But sometimes we got to go back and say, "Hey, I was wrong."
Yeah.
So watch what they've done. "Alas, the Lord called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said," now watch this, Jehoshaphat's name means Jehovah has judged. I'm thankful we are already a judged people.
Yes.
Before you ever got on the earth, you were already judged.
Hey.
Before you had a choice of right and wrong, you were already judged. And this man's name was Jehovah has judged. And watch him. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord?" Well, what a good idea now that we're in a mess.
Right.
"Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire the Lord of him?" And one of the king's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." In other words, listen, this ain't just a fly-by-night preacher, but this guy said, he poured water on Elijah's hands. This guy was raised by Elijah. He slept in the house with Elijah. This man knows the word of God.
Yeah,
right.
They said, "Well, go get him." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee?" Well, we wouldn't want to talk to a pastor like that, would we? "Brother, I want to talk to you now. Get out of my house. I don't want to talk to you. You made this decision without me." Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, "Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." Now I told this, now I'm telling you, I preached this at the church. But I told the church, I said, "Listen, you want to talk bad about somebody, you can ridicule them all you want.
Uh-huh.
But you start talking about their mama."
Right.
"And you have stirred up a hornet's nest."
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, "I ain't your prophet. Why don't you go get a prophet of your mama?" In other words, you know, go serve your mama's gods. In other words, this guy's kind of slamming them. And they said, watch the spirit of this man, though. He said, "And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee."
Right.
You know what I'm thankful is that the prophet, standing before someone who was predestinated, Jehovah had already judged him, even though he was mad, even though he didn't want to look their direction, he had to turn back and say, "Because you're here, I'm going to deal with you." I'm thankful. Brother Branham got in a place that he was looking at Ricky's. He was looking at Rick Ennis.
Yeah.
He was seeing the church going astray, but there was a group of people who Jehovah had judged, and it caused that prophet to say, "I'll continue on and preach to this group."
Yes.
Amen.
He said, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. I looked up the word minstrel, and it says a stringed instrument. I like that because piano's got strings, guitar's got strings, steel's got strings. I love it.
Amen.
Of course, I love music. So, "But now bring me a minstrel," and as it played, and it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches."
Amen.
See, these men had got themselves into a spot they didn't know what to do now.
Right.
And they thought, Well, we're going to go and he'll just prophesy and everything will be all right. But what did he do? He said, you got some work to do.
That's right. Sir.
Let me tell you something. Do you want to see a move of God in this church?
Amen.
You got work to do.
Amen. Right.
If you want to see a revival break out in your city, you got work to do. Right. We can't just sit around and let somebody else do the work. It would be about the Father's business. Amen. There is work to be done.
Yes, amen.
I told some of the preachers at our church the other day, I said, you guys are so stinking lazy. I said, I'm preaching in Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches. Somewhere out there, there's a lost soul. Hey. Somewhere there's a seed of God or we'd already be raptured.
Yes,
but
sir.
We got to quit being lazy and be
That's
about
right.
the Father's business.
Amen.
He said, you got some work to do.
Right.
You got to start digging.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, all this came from something that happened to me at work, and I'm going to get to that story in just a minute. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. That's better than what you're seeing in that. After they got themselves in a mess, Brother Tony, when they went back to the Word, because they were predestinated children of God, even though they got themselves in a mess, look what God's going to do for them. It wasn't that they had been good people. It wasn't that they had abided by God's Word. But simply because they were predestinated, He said, listen, I don't even want to talk to you, but I'll tell you what God's got to say. What God's got to say is you're going to smite a fenced city. You're going to, in every choice city, you're going to fell the good trees, to stop the wells of water, and you're going to mar their ground. Let me tell you, I don't care where you've been. I don't care how much you failed God. I don't care how low in a valley you are. If you'll go to God, you'll find a promise laying in His Word.
Amen.
That you're His child.
Hey. That's right.
There's something to be done, though.
Amen.
And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. You know what I did? I went to looking in the Scripture. And He said, you ain't going to see wind.
Yeah.
You ain't going to see rain.
Right.
But water's going to come.
Come on.
And according to the Scripture, we don't know how the water got there, Brother Tony. But there's one thing. When they did what the prophet said, Brother yeah. Daniel, the water came.
Amen.
Let me tell you, if you want a revival, it's time to dig ditches
Amen.
In your valley.
Amen.
You say, I'm in a valley and I don't know what to do. Start digging.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All
right.
Let me tell you where this came from. I just needed a scripture about digging something out. Because something happened to me at work and I thought, you know, everything that happens to a preacher turns into a sermon. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Do you know, I went to wash my boss's truck for him. Because it's kind of a sales truck and I drive it around some. And I said, I don't want to drive around in a nasty truck. So I pick up this handle, this wash and brush handle. And like I said, this is going to be simple tonight. But I believe it'll be a blessing if you let it.
Amen.
Brother Tim, I go to washing this truck, and all of a sudden I went, oh! I said, man, that broom handle did something to my hand. Well, I get to looking, and there ain't nothing sticking out on this handle. And I thought, well, that's odd. Well, I looked down at my hand and I got this swollen little place of infection. And what I had forgot about was 3 days prior to this, I'd got a splinter in my finger. Well, splinter ain't really a big deal, is it? So I said, I get it out later. We'll just deal with that later. Ain't that big of a deal. Ain't no reason to dig in my valley right now, right?
Yeah.
We can do it later. But you know what? After 3 days went by, infection started building around this.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot about it because, you know, I quit washing the truck and I thought it'd be all right. Later that day, I go to grab the door handle on the truck and I went, oh! Now, this may sound silly to you. But you know what? After I got my hand off the door handle, Brother Daniel, it didn't seem so bad.
Right.
Well, Well, that evening I come home and I grabbed the door handle at my house. I went, oh! So what in the world are you talking about? I have something wrong with me.
Come on.
But every time I touch something, you know what I did? I looked at that washing handle and I went, ah, that you got me, but you won't get me again. But it was me.
Yeah.
And then when I grabbed the truck door handle, I looked at that truck door handle going, you got me that time, but it was me.
Right.
Well, then whenever I got home, Brother Tony, and I grabbed that door handle and I'm looking at that door handle, but it was me.
Yeah.
Now this might not... Y'all may think I'm crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. This happens in churches.
Yep.
We get splinters.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I've done. I went online, and I read up everything about splinters, and I was shocked. I hope this is all right with you.
Amen.
This is all what the doctors, this is a doctor's report. The number one thing that they call a splinter a foreign body. And I like that, Brother Frank, because that tells me that there is a body inside this body that don't belong there.
Yeah.
There is an illegal alien that has contacted me, and not only contacted me, but is now possessing me.
Yeah.
That splinter, Brother Tim, had possessed my finger to the point that if I would have shook hands with Brother Tony, I would have said, oh man, what'd you do to me?
Yeah.
Brother Daniel, if I'd have shook your hand, I would have thought you'd done something to me to purposely hurt me. But no one had tried to hurt me. No one was setting traps for me.
Yep.
But I had a problem that needed to be dug out.
Amen.
But because I refused.
Yeah.
Nobody likes taking a razor and cutting their finger open and digging splinters out. It don't feel good.
Right.
But had I done that, I would have never looked crossways at the broom handle.
Yeah.
Had I done that, I'd have never looked crossways at the door handle. But because I refused to do my job, and I let that thing lay there, infection began to build around it.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at this in a spiritual sense. Just work with me a little bit tonight.
Yeah.
It's a foreign body, and many times we allow foreign spirits to invade our bodies.
Come on.
We begin to let the devil torment our mind. He tells us things. He brings things to our attention that's not even there.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, I preached a message one time about Christians in shock. I came up on a wreck here a while back on the interstate. And I run up to the car and this woman's laying there. And she's knocked out cold. And this car is just a disaster. Brother Daniel, she starts coming to herself, and I told her, I said, you just sit still. And she looks at me, and her eyes are just glazed over. And she went, help me. And I said, help's on the way. You sit still. Brother Frank, she reached up, and the windshield was just busted apart, just jagged glass everywhere, and she grabbed a hold of that windshield to try and pull herself up. And I said, sit still. And she said, help me. And I realized, I'm preaching to this woman. I'm trying to help her. Brother Daniel, I was telling her what to do.
Yeah.
And she never even heard it.
Right.
She was looking, I got to get out of this hole. This is all she can see. I got to get out of this hole.
Yeah.
And I finally got right in her face. Now, I'm sure if somebody would have come up on that scene, they would have thought, man, Cliff's being rude. I got right in her face, Brother Daniel. I said, sit still.
Yeah.
Help's on the way. Sometimes a preacher will get right in your face and he'll say, listen, help's on the way, be still. Let God deal with this. Don't you try and do this. Don't mess this up. And yet we'll grab a hold of glass. And she was hurting herself, trying to help herself. There I stood, Brother Tim, screaming, listen, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you, you'll be helped. And there she went hurting herself, cutting herself, trying to help herself.
Oh, my. Yep.
This doctor said that splinters enter by friction. You say, well, I know that. You know, if you never rub anything the wrong way, Brother Tony, you're never going to get a splinter.
Yeah.
You know, I preached this at our church right after. I preached it on a Sunday night, and that morning our pastor had blistered some hides. And I said, what better time to preach about splinters than after some friction that was brought this morning? You know, you start telling people how to live, you start getting some splinters.
Yeah.
You know why? If you just pet people the right way, everything's fine. But you rub them the wrong way, you find out, right?
Yes, sir. Man.
So, friction from what's been done or been said. You know, and I'm just going to talk to you about what happens at my church, all right? Now, y'all can think I'm crazy and throw me out after all this. I don't know why I'm here. I'm telling you, this wasn't my plan, and I didn't want to do this, all right? But people get so out of sorts about little stuff. Isn't that right, Brother Tony? I mean, I see people at our church. I told Brother David the other day, I said, you know, that is a grown woman, but she's got the mind of a 14-year-old, I believe. Just the way she handles things. And you wonder, why do these things happen, and why are we so childish after being in the message all these years? And so what this doctor's report says, it says, now splinters are usually obvious, but if they're unseen, it will be noticed by an infection, a swelling, or a tenderness. Mm-hmm. You ever seen anybody that's real tender?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was somewhere the other day and I said something to someone and I just kind of teased them or something, you know, and all of a sudden they just backlashed on me. Brother Tony, they was ready to fight, and I thought, am I missing something? Yeah. But you know what? They were tender.
Right.
Because of a splinter somewhere that they didn't want to dig out. So now there was an infection, and that infection, it causes a growth in there that it makes everything tender. So when you get close to that spot, people start going, hey, well, let me tell you right now. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, boy, they're awful adamant to let me know that they ain't done nothing wrong. And right. I see this going on in church. Now, this is spirit I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said this. He said, this is what we got to do tonight, is to make way for the Holy Ghost to pour down. Make it in your house. Make it in your church. Make it in yourself. Kick everything out of the way. Get ready. There's coming a gusher if you'll get ready for it. If you don't make ready for it, you'll never see it. Now, I'll tell you what stood out to me about this quote, Brother Daniel. He didn't say, if you don't get ready for it, it ain't coming. He said, if you don't make ready for it, you won't see it.
That's right.
In other words, a gusher could come.
Come on.
What's your name, brother? I know I'm supposed to know it. So Brother Matt can feel the gusher. And Brother Tim could feel the gusher.
Yeah.
Brother Tony could feel the gusher, and I'm going to use you. And Brother Daniel could sit there and go, what's this about?
Come on.
Right.
I ain't feeling it, so it must not be.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They're worked up in some kind of a frenzy. I don't know what's wrong with them.
Yeah. Right. Think about it.
If it was really God, I'd be feeling it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't believe Brother Daniel's that way, but I've got to use somebody for an example.
Right.
But you see what I'm saying? And I watch people in our church. I'll tell you what I have seen. And I'm not just saying I guess, but I've seen it. I've seen a move of God sweep through our church and people walk out the doors and go, I don't know what they were so excited about. And I'm going, man, I got saved again. I mean, it's great. It's awesome. You know, people are going, well, the preaching just wasn't much. And I'm going, are you kidding me?
Right.
But you know, around the message, we've got to where now, if it's not some great theological just outpouring of theology and an outpouring of just great, you know, beautiful seminars laid out and all this stuff, then we've not even been preached to. Let me tell you something. I like some good old-fashioned preaching.
Amen. Amen.
But he said, if you don't make ready for it, you'll never see it. And I think a lot of times why people ain't seeing the move of God in the church, it's because they ain't ready for it.
That's right.
There was a lady talked to me from our church, Brother Tony, here a while back. She said, Cliff, she said, I know that God's still moving. She said, but when's the last time you've seen somebody get saved? I said, sis, do you not remember? And I named the person's name. I said, Brother Wesley came down there to the altar about 3 weeks ago. She said, well, yeah, you know, one. She said, but, I mean, when have you just really seen a move of God? And I said, sis, do you not remember? I said, that night he came to the altar. His wife came to the altar and repented. His brother came to the altar. There's about 14 or 15 other young people in the altar receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving deliverance.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I just don't see that happen much anymore. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I was at a church just last weekend, and I said, we had an altar filled with people. I said, people was getting deliverance of demons. People got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, there was a lost person that came up and got saved.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't feel like I'm seeing it. Well, no, you're not. When you got blinders on, you can't see it.
Right, brother.
Last time we were there at Brother Frank's, there was a man tattooed up, drugged, just, you know, as far as his fleshly body, he was a mess.
Yes, sir.
But he walked down to the altar and repented, and Brother Frank, it was about 3 days later, somebody said, well, you know, I just don't see nobody getting saved anymore, so let me tell you about one that I saw.
Hey.
Let me tell you, if you'll open your eyes, you'll see the move of God. But if you close your eyes to it, you're going to say, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm going to church anymore. You know, I asked this question to our church, and you know what? I don't know anything going on in this church. If there might not be nothing going on in this church. I don't know. But I asked this question to our church. I said, I want you people to give me an honest, just be honest with yourself. I said, you ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to say nothing to me. I said, but ask yourself this honest question. Why are you here tonight?
Yeah.
Right.
Why do you belong to this church? Mm-hmm. Why do you follow the message of the hour?
Right.
Right.
Is this revelation? Is this, well, mom and daddy done this? Is this, well, it's what I've done my whole life? What is your purpose and why are you here?
Yep.
So now this goes a little bit further. This doctor said, very deep splinters may require removal by a doctor. Some splinters may be lodged so deeply that only an anesthetic injection allows for painless removal. See, sometimes you've got to go sit down with your pastor and say, look, I got a problem and I need to work it out.
Amen.
Sometimes things get to where it's beyond your control. Sometimes we get in a mess. Hey, there was a situation I remember happened a few years ago. I got myself in that mess. I called my pastor and I said, listen, you didn't get me here. I did. I said, but I need you to tell me how to get out. Mm-hmm. He said, well, do this and this and this and this. Now you say, well, were you letting a man rule you? No, I was letting God speak to me through that office of a pastor,
right,
though.
Right.
James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So sometimes we don't just work things out on our own. We got to call somebody and say, hey, I need some help.
Amen.
Now watch this one. It says, with uncooperative patients, such as children, it may be difficult to restrain a child and remove a splinter. If this is the case, seek medical help. I thought about this. How many of you ever seen children that you can't restrain long enough to get a splinter out?
Oh, yeah.
You know what you got to do? You got to seek some medical help.
Yeah.
Spiritually, too.
Right.
I see young people in the church. You know something? A brother told me one time, I said, I want to be a help to our young people. You know what he told me, Brother Daniel? He said, quit trying to preach to them. I said, what do you mean? He said, befriend them.
Yeah.
He said, when you become their friend, they'll listen to anything you tell. You know what I found? I found him to be right.
Yeah, right.
I found that if I befriended those, you know, and I told a brother, he said, well, we need to fix this problem. We need to, another brother in the church, and he means well. But I said, listen, brother. I said, when they're at home with their parents are telling them, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and you're doing this. And I said, somebody, I said, give them a little bit of a break and work with them a little bit.
Yeah.
And see, sometimes we, you know, and I see it in my own self. I see my children and I'm constantly fixing.
Yeah.
And I'm never telling them how good they are. I never tell them how good. You know, I may go somewhere and somebody says, you got the best mannered kids. And I'm going, really? I think they're brats. You know? But I see every wrong move. And so sometimes, if you're trying to dig a splinter out, you're ready to slap somebody upside the head.
Right.
Yeah.
So what have you got to do? You got to bring in outside help. A pastor is a marriage counselor. A pastor is a parent-child counselor. Sometimes when we get these problems, we got to go sit down and say, I need help. I hope this is all right with you.
Amen. Sorry.
Most splinters that are visible do not require any tests. For deeply embedded splinters, an ultrasound, a CT scan, or MRI, special types of imaging studies that provide better visualization of soft tissues may be needed. Very large splinters may also require a CT scan or MRI. Now I'm going to tell you, when I started looking at this, Brother Tim, it blew my mind, because I never dreamed that a splinter could have you laying on your back getting an MRI.
Come on.
But it said if there is a possibility the splinter may have penetrated a bone, a tendon, or a vital area, x-rays may aid in locating these metallic splinters or occasionally glass as well. I thought about this. Sometimes we are looking at the problem, but we don't know where the problem's coming from.
Right.
I'll tell you what happened. After I preached this at home, our deacon stood up and he said, I want to give a little testimony. He said, the only time in my life I was ever in the hospital, he said, I had pain shooting up my arm in red streaks. He said, and then I got a swell right here on one of my lymph nodes. He said, so we went to the hospital. And he said, what had happened was, he said, I'd got a splinter in my finger. And he said, infection got into my bloodstream and went all the way up my arm and was causing this trouble. So now you're seeing signs all over this body and it can be traced back to one splinter that wasn't dug out.
Right.
Let me tell you something. There's people that will let things lay for 20 years.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I know right now, no sense in sharing too much, but I'll just give you this. I know right now, Brother Frank, in our church, a situation that has laid for 25 years that our pastor has begged, let's fix this. He even told the brother, he said, brother, do you not realize the reason you're judging this situation is because of what happened back here and under the pastor before me, back there laying, and he called them back. There were two men involved, and the one man said, yes, you're right. Repented, made it right. The other man said, no, this is the right way. This is where I'm standing. And to this day, Brother Daniel refuses to make it right. And I thought about this. How much hindrance is caused in that man's family?
Right.
How much hindrance has been in that man's own life, Brother Tim, because he refuses to just go back and dig out a splinter.
Right.
And that last thing they said, if there are signs of inflammation, the doctor will either explore the area or remove the inflamed area with a scalpel. This ensures removal of the splinter. Could you imagine? Same. Little Tony, I got a problem. I feel like I need to come to you and talk to you. He'd reach in his pocket and pull out his pocket knife and say, come on. He'd say, but that's mean. Well, do you want rid of the problem or not? Sometimes we got to hear some messages that cut.
That's right.
Sometimes we got to hear some stuff that hurts.
Yeah.
But if you got something laying in there that you ain't ever went back and dug out, let me tell you something. I want to tell you what I told someone the other day. I said, listen, we won't even hardly shake hands with people sitting across the room from us and then act like we're going to sit at a marriage supper and eat with them.
Right.
Let me tell you something. We're going to have to fix some things on this side.
Yeah.
Of the gate.
That's right.
We ain't going to get over there hating our brothers and sisters. You believe that?
That's right.
They might explore the area, but they might just cut you wide open. There was a brother told me one time, he said, you know, he said, I don't understand. He said, I went to my pastor and he said, I told him, he said, I got trouble with my wife and she just won't act right. And he said, the pastor looked at me and said, you're the reason. He said, I didn't want to hear that. He said, I don't think I'm the problem. Well, no, he didn't think he was the problem. That's why his house is in a mess.
Right.
Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just don't feel good. You know, I tell you, I like to put this disclaimer. This has been several years ago. Let me put that disclaimer on this, okay? But several years ago, I was talking to my pastor, and we were sitting visiting, and I said, trustee said, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, and I told him, I said, if that's the way they're going to do it, then I'm just going to do this. And I, you know, said what I was going to do. Well, about a week later, he's in the pulpit preaching. And he said, you know, he said, I can't remember who it was. He said, but somebody told me the other day that, you know, if this happened, they was going to do this, this, this. And Brother Tony, he turned to me and he said, you know, Brother Cliff, he said, whatever man that was that told me that, he said, that guy's got an attitude problem and he needs to get to the altar.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't much appreciate that.
Yeah.
So you know what I did, Brother Tim? When service was over, I walked up to him and I said, Brother David, I said, who was it that told you that about? And I named the situation. He said, I have no idea. He said, I can't think for the life of me. I said, that was me. And he went,
oh.
He looked back up at me, Brother Daniel. He said, well, son, the truth's the truth.
Amen. That's right.
And I said, I'm going to tell you something. Not only am I thankful that you're getting a little senile and you forgot who it was, but I said, I'm thankful that God cared enough about me to pick out what I had said in the wrong attitude and said, Cliff, you got an attitude problem and you need to find your way to an altar.
Amen.
Right.
In separation from unbelief, Brother Branham said, but he said, go out there, the driest place there is, and start digging some ditches. See, there ain't no water yet. Ain't going to be able to throw nothing but sand out. But you're making ready for water.
Praise God.
I know this has been simple tonight, but I just want you to think about these things.
Yes.
Yeah. We all, I don't care how far advanced we get in the Word, we all got problems.
Amen.
Because we're human. Right. Now, I know there's a brother preaching, I guess you'd call him a big name preacher of the message, preaching that once you receive the Holy Ghost, you've come to adoption and there's no more white dog, black dog. And I bear to disagree with the guy. If there ain't no white dog, black dog after the Holy Ghost, Brother Frank, then I ain't got it yet. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a black dog that yaps in my ear every day of the week.
Yes, sir.
And you know who wins the fight, Brother Daniel? Whoever I feed the most.
Hey.
And let me tell you, sometimes, yes, I'm a minister. Yes, I'm sealed in. But sometimes I feed the black dog more than the white dog. You say, I'm just going to be honest. There's sometimes I feed gossip more than I do prayer.
Come on, brother.
There's sometimes I talk more about situations than going to prayer about those situations.
Yeah.
And talking about it don't fix it. You know what it does? It drives that splinter further in.
Yeah.
Every time I grabbed a door handle, it drove it further in. When I grabbed a broom handle, it drove it further in. But had I just stopped and said, listen, I got a problem.
Yeah.
See, we can hide problems.
Right.
We can cover up problems. And it might take 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Still, problems are going to come to the surface.
Yeah.
I want to end with this. When I got through, there's a brother in our church that's a nurse. Because I want you to realize this in a spiritual sense as much as a natural sense. Most of you probably think, Brother Cliff, splinters ain't that big of a deal.
Come on.
This brother, he's a nurse, and he come around to the back, and he said, Brother Cliff, he said, do you ever preach sermons more than once? And I said, yeah, I'm an evangelist. You know, that's what we do.
Right.
He said, Brother Cliff, he said, I want to tell you about something that happened the other day at the hospital. He said, have you ever heard of septicemia? I said, never heard of it. I know a lot of people with septicemia, but I don't know what septicemia is. And he said, Cliff, he said, septicemia is when your blood gets so poisoned that it's septic.
Right.
I said, okay. He said, a man came to our hospital the other day and he said he had septicemia so bad, his blood was poisoned, that it started affecting his mind. He said, and then he found himself, he said he didn't even know who he was. He said, you could ask him, who are you? And he didn't know. I said, isn't that something? He said, because he didn't know, he said he had no way of knowing how the infection got there. He said, but we ran this infection down, and he said it led to a splinter. And he said that splinter was dug in deep. Infection started. He said infection got into his bloodstream. It started going to his heart. Then it went to his head. And he said, that little splinter caused this man to be in a place of not even knowing who he was any longer. You say, well, Brother Cliff, I mean, yeah, I got a little problem. I got a little grudge I've held, but it ain't that big of a deal. Let me tell you something. Little grudges turn out to people not even knowing who they are.
Right.
Little grudges cause people to leave the message.
That's right.
Little bitty things, little bitty areas of doubt and question cause people to walk away. Little bitty splinters cause divorces.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So I just ask you tonight if you'd stand to your feet with me. I know this ain't been deep, but I just wonder, Brother Tim, if you come on up to them. As they play something softly with every head bowed, you know, I have no idea what God's got in store for this weekend. Brother Tony, this ain't what I wanted. This ain't the direction I had planned, But I know beyond all shadow of doubt that this is what God led me to use tonight. And you know, from the youngest to the oldest, could we be honest enough to say, we got something laying there that needs to be dug out? Let me tell you what the prophet of God said. He said, one cross feeling could hinder the move of God in the church. Not fist fighting on the parking lot. He said, just one little cross spirit. We got to get that stuff resolved before we get to the other side. Would there just be even just one of you that just say, brother, I got some things I need to dig out. I got some areas of my life that need some work on. God bless the hand. Why don't we just go to him in prayer? You pray along with me. Father, God, I don't know. You know my heart. You know I didn't want to say these things. But Lord, we're all guilty. We all get in these places and we look back and we say, why am I here? Why am I in this place? Why am I not feeling the presence of God like I used to feel it? Why am I not reading like I should? Why am I not praying like I should? Lord, sometimes we go back and we find where some little splinter worked its way into us. But Lord, tonight we rebuke those foreign bodies. Tonight we cast out all spirits. Lord, if there be something laying somewhere, some little splinter laying in someone's life, Lord, may we resolve all those things. Lord, if there's something that needs to be made right, I don't care if it happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Lord, let us find our way going back to an altar, going back to a person and saying, I did that in the wrong attitude. I did that with the wrong motive. Let me make this thing right. Father, I know the consummation of the rapturing of the church is just around the corner. Lord, you said only perfect love would make it. Father, if we don't have it, then give it to us, Lord. Lord, if there's something we need to dig tonight, let us grab a shovel tonight. Let us begin to dig in our valley. Let us remove the trash. Let us remove all the hindrances. That water may come. Lord, in my own life, you see the hindrances I have. I pray tonight, God, you'll remove the hindrances in my life. Let's be honest tonight, church. Be sincere with the Lord tonight. Do we want revival? Do we want water to come to our valley? Let's let the water come. Lord, dig in ourselves. Dig in our hearts. Dig in our minds. Clean us out tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Some wicked way.
Spoken because that's what we want, right? there's usually a reason for something. Something's going on, something's agitating, or something's stirring a person's heart in the wrong way. There's usually a reason for it. And the human race is notorious for letting things lay, as our brother illustrated about the splinters laying there. It would be just a little bitty something, becomes a great big something. And you realize that man that was in the hospital, they talked about, you know, he would have died from that blood poisoning, from that little splinter. And so I certainly want to join in with my brother tonight to encourage you to dig, prepare, to dig out the splinters in your life. It's like the illustration of digging in the ditches, getting ready for an outpouring, getting ready for what the Lord would do for you the rest of this service and through tomorrow. And so I want to encourage you to do those things. You know, I was mentioning the other night, we need to be not on the defensive, we need to be on the offensive. God wants us to take the tools and the things that He's given us and to rise up and actually put them into play, put them into effect in our life and use them. And not just waiting for the devil to come up, because you know the devil's going to be there tomorrow. You know he's going to be there when you set your feet on the floor tomorrow. But as I've shared with my wife many times, we need to engineer what we want tomorrow to be. Don't just sit around and wait to see what the devil's going to throw at you.
All right.
But you hit the floor tomorrow morning with a plan, and you go after Him. You go looking for Him, what He's fixing to try. You watch for what's coming instead of waiting until it blindsides you. So that's what we need to do. And so these are, you know, simple concepts. But I tell you what, some of these simple concepts is the hardest thing. Or, you know, just a Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, that's simple. That's supposed to be for children, right? But how many can do it? How many can turn the cheek, you know, and give them another cheek and give them their cloak and their coat? And so, because in that same passage, He says, be therefore perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And so, we appreciate what the Lord gave us tonight. You know, He is the Lord of the harvest. Lord of the harvest, and He controls. Because as the scripture says, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And God is the Lord of the harvest, of the sowing and reaping. You know, so that, as I gave the illustration recently, sometimes you plant your garden, you get a bumper crop, and sometimes you don't get the bumper crop. Because the Lord of the harvest, you know, we don't get to say how much we reap when we sow sometimes. But as I was telling the church the other night, I encourage you, if you weren't here, stop sowing the bad stuff. Start sowing the good things.
Yeah.
Because God is, just like we always apply that to the bad side, God's not mocked. He, you know, what a man sows, he's going to reap. But you realize that works on the good side just like it does the bad.
Yeah.
Sow good seed. And the same Lord of the harvest, who's there to make sure that you reap what you sow, whether it's good or bad, he will make sure that the blessings of God will come upon you. And you'll get out there and plow up that ground, break up that fallow ground, and plant the good seeds. So we appreciate what the Lord has said to us.
Yes.
Amen. Just take what you've heard and let it be seen to your prayer closet tonight. Next week, tonight, go home and take what you heard tonight and enter into your prayer closet and start digging some ditches for tomorrow morning. Amen? Will you do that?
Amen.
We'll dig some ditches tonight and we'll see what God does in the morning.
Yes.
Right? Because God's not mocked. Amen. I believe that. And the brother mentioned we're right here at rapture time. We're right here at body change time. Right? I can't imagine I could go much longer. But I tell you what, I still believe there's some lacking. And as you said, there's somebody out there that's not in yet, and we've got our work to do. So we thank the Lord for what He's given to us. And let's sing this song a little bit more and worship the Lord just for a few minutes.
Search me, O God. asked Brother Branham questions, and Brother Branham answered and said, if there's a question about it, mm-hmm. remember what he said? Yeah. If there's a question about it, you better stay away from it. Mm-hmm. Wonder why he told us that. I know why, but I'm asking you, why did he tell us that? Because it will make a difference. Right. You know, let little things lay, might not seem a big deal, but I can guarantee you, on rapture morning, it'll be a big deal.
Amen.
And that's why Brother Brown said that, because you've got to have confidence. Yeah. Jesus said, Father, I thank you. I know that you hear me. I know that you always hear me, because I always do that which is right, that which is pleasing, right? Mm-hmm. How many would like to have that statement? People say that. And so Brother Brown knew what he was talking about when he said that. So if you got a question or something, you know, you have the instruction from the prophet on what to do with that. You have a question, better stay away from it. Get on the side, act like the guy that driving up the cliff. Stay as close to the wall as you can get. Don't get over close to the edge.
Yeah.
Don't try to live as close to the world as you can without falling off, because you'll fall off. That's just all there is to it. Yeah. And so we want to hug the side of the mountain as close as possible. Hug the Word of God. And don't look for ways to try and, because listen, if you've got something in you that's trying to tell you, compromise the Word, that's a wrong spirit to begin with. Because the Holy Spirit will always, always be positive and always be wooing you to the Word. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we thank the Lord. Let's be in prayer for service in the morning, and remember the your commitment a little while ago to be in prayer tonight about what you've heard.
Yes.
And be expecting God to move in the morning. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Prater if he'd come up and just close us in prayer. And if he wants to say a few words to the people, he can. And then Brother Tim will have a closing song for us.
Last Sunday evening, we gave a prayer request when we were visiting in Walnut Ridge, about a brother in Pakistan that had been hurt in a terrorist bombing in Lahore, Pakistan. And it's a relative of a message preacher there. It's a relative of Brother Jabrian Gill. Some of you have seen his name around, I'm sure. And Brother Jabrian has gotten back in touch with us today and told us that what happened was that a ball bearing from the bomb penetrated his skull, and he's still in a coma, but he's coming around. He's responding to outside stimuli. And we first of all want to thank God that the brother's coming around. Amen. But the terrorists trying to stop things around the world, they actually stopped me from being in Africa tonight. But, you know, because I didn't get to go to Africa didn't mean they didn't have a successful meeting. They did. We got reports back that it was much more successful than if I had went, because of what they preached was not what I had on my mind to preach. So we got a real, real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think there was about 200 people at the altar Easter Sunday morning. And so I just thank God that I didn't go, but I hated that there was a terrorist bomb set off in the airport where I would have been landing. But God's protection still at that. We just want to thank God for all of those things. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to be in this place. Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Yes. And Lord, to hear these words of encouragement, the songs of Zion that are sung to praise your name, to lead us into worship, Lord. We thank you that we can understand what the Holy Spirit is telling us in this hour, just before body change time. Lord, just before that catching away of the bride. Lord, that we need to dig deep into our souls, Lord, and pull out everything that is unlike you, Father, I pray that each of us tonight will take advantage of the opportunity that you have given us as we have heard from on high the things that we need to help us walk closer to you. We ask for your continued blessings, Lord. Tomorrow, may Brother Cliff just be able to release himself in the Holy Spirit and exercise that gift that God, you gave to a prophet, getting himself out of the way. Lord, we just ask your gracious blessings upon all those that are here tonight, all of those that will be here tomorrow. We pray you pour out your blessings upon them through the opening of the Word of God, and help us, Lord, just to see your glory and your grace and your mercy. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Just remember to be in prayer for Sister Pansy and Brother Scott. And so.